We know that physicians like to learn by case studies, and we had the opportunity to meet Veronica, who has had gastric banding. Now, Veronica's had to overcome some obstacles already, even though her surgery was barely more than a year ago. Veronica and her doctor talked to us about some of the emotional challenges following bariatric surgery and the discipline it takes to follow through with lifestyle changes when you realize that the operation is only the beginning.
I like this one. This is so pretty. I have 5 girls.
What about this one sitting down? They look cute.
They range in age from 18 to 3. Alexia's the oldest, which is she's 18. Sydney is 15. Chloe is 12. Zoe is 5. And Mia's 3. Every day is a new adventure. Having 5 children, I know, contributed to a lot of the weight gain.
Look at mine.
That is pretty.
I think it had a lot to do with being a stay-at-home mom because, you know, all you do all day is take care of your children. You play with your kids, you make them something, you eat all day. The biggest that I have ever been was 294. I had tried so many different diets before, and I had gotten really depressed, and I was always fighting with my husband, crying a lot, and the eating habits were out of control. I wasn't happy with myself, you know? It was the low self-esteem. It was just always something that was putting myself down.
When Veronica first came into our office, she'd been struggling with her weight loss for many years, up and down, trying multiple methods, reached a body mass index of 50, which technically becomes a super obese category. She was trying to decide between the gastric bypass and the gastric band and was hoping that she would be able to make the band work. The surgery is easy for the gastric band. It's a fairly quick recovery, and that part of it sometimes can fool them because they think, oh, no big deal, but it's the actually adapting to the band and changing your behaviors that's the more difficult aspect.
The first month and a half was really hard because I had to cook dinner for my family. It's a learning process all the time.
The women tend to be the cooks, and they still have to do the cooking and the tasting and et cetera. What I try to get the patients to do is to incorporate the same dietary changes that they're making into their own cooking for their families, so it's a healthier result for all of them.
In this past year, I've lost almost 80 pounds.
Okay, let's go over there.
And it's still a lot, but I can say it. I'm proud to weigh 215 compared to almost 300 pounds.
There's a reason why some people are obese. They're basically hiding within their body frame, and once you start peeling away the layers, it opens up old wounds. And for some people, it's a big challenge.
It's like you never stop thinking about the weight. Every day I think about it. When I take a shower, when I'm getting dressed, you think fat all the time, even though you're not fat. You're, like, I feel like I'm always gonna think the way I used to before. I knew that doing the gastric banding was going to have a lot to do with my self-esteem, and it has.
I really, really, really emphasize the fact that this is not a panacea, this is not a fairy tale. It is imperative for any operation that you have for weight loss surgery that you change your dietary habits and your exercise capacity, bottom line.
I guess when I did my gastric banding surgery, I was more like, oh, it's gonna do the work. I don't want to do the work. You still have to work. It's not a solution overnight. You have to learn and you have to figure out what's best for you.
Overall, what we hope is that this will make a behavioral change, not just for them, but for their families.
I'm glad that I chose this for me, but it's not just about looking good. It's about also feeling good for my children, to have more energy, to be able to do all the things that I want to do. It's changed my life. It's changed all our lives.
I think Veronica's story really hits home, especially for me, because as a mother of 5 children, there were so many things and activities that I couldn't even engage with my children. I was embarrassed about going things, and in many ways I was hiding behind that white jacket, being the person that patients go to, and I'm sitting there telling them what they had to do for their own health, and I wasn't doing what I needed to do. And so hearing her story really hits home. And the challenges that she'll continue to have as she goes through this whole life change process. I think what's important and something that I recognize is that I still can eat. But what the surgery, and I've had the banding surgery, what it's allowed me to do is make smarter choices in my food portions and what I'm choosing.
The other thing that Veronica's story just really brought out for me was patients have to understand that by doing a weight loss surgery on them, they're the exact same person. You know, that we're in the operating room for an hour to 2 hours, and when they come out, they're the exact same person that went into that operating room. And so if they continue the habits that got them to the point that they were considering a weight loss operation, we're not going to do well long-term. With a bypass, we'll see them lose weight, then regain it. With a band, they just won't lose weight. It's about using your surgery to help you implement lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. And that's the real challenge. And patients need to understand that up front. We have the conversation all the time that the work really starts once we leave the operating room. You know, we're just going to give you a really effective tool. When we look at why does medical weight loss not work very well, why are those figures so low? It's difficult to control hunger, and it's difficult to control portion size. That's all we're doing with surgery. I mean, we're controlling hunger very well through different mechanisms, but we're controlling it, and we're controlling portion size. That gives somebody an opportunity to start working on lifestyle issues.
And so again, it is a tool to be used. It is not the quick fix. It is not, okay, I did my surgery, now I don't have to worry about anything. And I think those lifestyle changes, you know, I used to think, oh my goodness, is it cheating? No, it's not cheating. Bariatric surgery is not cheating. It is using a tool to help you get to a point to start helping you to manage your weight. But once you lose the weight, you have to manage it for the rest of your life.
And I think as a primary care physician, that's a message that I want you giving to your patients, mm-hmm. as a bariatric surgeon, is that you have to work. Mm-hmm. You have to work after surgery. It's not a free ride. Mm-hmm. In fact, it becomes very challenging after surgery. You start dealing with emotional issues, eating issues, exercise issues. You are the same person. And so if you can't find time to exercise mm-hmm. before surgery, well, you're going to have a hard time finding it after surgery, but it's a key component for long-term success.
Mm-hmm. Well, like any procedure, there are risks that come along with the potential benefits. What are the potential complications of bariatric surgery that should be included in a conversation, a discussion about risk?
Well, I think it all depends on the procedure, because each of the procedures have their own risk profile. And so clearly we have to talk about death. To me, that's obviously the biggest risk of undergoing any operation, and these operations are no different. Luckily, it's very, very low. I mean, with a gastric bypass, I'm sorry, let me go band. A band's about a 0.1% risk of dying. A bypass is about a 0.2%. When we move into the more difficult operations, biliopancreatic diversion, we move up to a higher rate, about 2% risk of death. But again, when we put those in perspective, that's very, very low. I mean, we look at the risk of dying from having a heart mm-hmm. bypass is much, much higher than the risk of dying from a weight loss operation. But it's not zero, and mm-hmm. I think patients need to understand that going in. And then it really depends on the individual operation. So with a band, we worry about band slips, we worry about band erosions, we worry about chronic vomiting problems, we worry about inadequate weight loss, nutritional deficiencies, luckily are pretty unusual, but can even occur after a band. Some sort of system problem, so a port problem, a tubing problem, the balloon on the inside of the band wearing out. With a gastric bypass, we worry about, particularly in the hospital, things like a leak that can occur, a blood clot, so a DVT or a pulmonary embolus can occur. Ulcers can occur after a gastric bypass. Malnutrition over a long period of time, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, certainly possible. Chronic nausea, possibility after a bypass as well. When you move into a biliopancreatic diversion, which is the biggest operation that we do and does carry the highest risk profile, we worry about mainly leaks are a possibility and malnutrition. I mean, those are the two major things that we worry about.
When we look at heart disease, we think about lifetime risk of having these problems. And so every year that someone has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, they're at risk for an event. If we can take that lifetime risk and take it completely off track, then that puts the risk of these procedures in a little bit of a different perspective. Because you have a one-time risk, periprocedural, and within the first year adjusting to your dietary constraints.
But then those risks every year of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes have really gone away.
And that's the conversation mm-hmm. I have with patients, is that we're going to put all your risk up front. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put where the risk is, can we get you through the surgery safely? And if we're able to get you through the surgery safely, get you to lose a significant amount of weight, there's a lot of gain on the back end in terms of diabetes resolution, high blood pressure resolution, patients living longer lives and healthier lives, quite frankly. But we take the risk up front. Mm-hmm. And in general, again, just some broad numbers to use, with weight loss surgery, there's about a 10 to 15% complication rate across the board. Now, it'll be different for different operations, but in general, about 10 to 15% of patients will have some complication related to their surgery.
Well, primary care physicians will generally manage bariatric surgery patients long term. What do these physicians need to know about specialized nutrition after bariatric surgery?
Well, again, it really just also depends on the surgery that they've had. But for the most part, staying, you know, keeping diaries of their nutritional status, really reading labels and really becoming educated on what it is that we're actually buying. And I think, you know, when you start going into the processed foods, you know, people are not educated to start looking at what they've been putting in their body all along. And so, again, those changes have to occur, and those are things that happen pre-surgery and have to continue on post-surgery. The nutritional supplements, the vitamins, the higher protein, and then also as a primary care physician, recognizing some of the nutritional deficits that they can get, the anemias that they can sometimes get depending on the surgeries. Those all have to be addressed, and it has to be a continuum. It's not something that you can sit there and wait until the person is actually having problems.
And in general, what we try to do with weight loss surgeries, we try to get people to eat healthy, like we all should. Mm-hmm. And so clearly there's always a focus on protein. We try to, pretty much any protein they want to eat, they will do well with. Any vegetable, salad, fruit, generally will do fine with. We try to limit bread, rice, pasta, mm-hmm. potato, so those carbohydrates. For me, it doesn't mean never. It means we try to limit those as a regular part of the meal. But it's really eating healthy. They need to slow down, because when patients eat too fast or they eat too much, it typically leads to vomiting.
What other areas or issues should be on a primary care physician's radar screen when managing patients who've undergone bariatric surgery?
We need to think about the medications that they were on going into surgery and which of those will need to be addressed and adjusted because their risk factors have improved. And so we don't want to have patients having too low of blood pressure or having problems with too low blood sugar from their diabetes medications. We need to monitor those and adjust them as needed for when their weight goes down and if their weight goes up a little bit in the future as well.
And that's an important point, because one of the things that I see in my practice is, you know, a patient has their weight loss surgery, they're feeling better, so they stop their medicines, and it may not be an appropriate time for them to stop their medicine. So, and they don't typically come back to me in order to adjust those medicines. They will go back to the primary care physician. And when we look at problems, we can really break them kind of into three categories. Really early problems are the problems that the surgeon's going to take care of that happen right around the time of surgery. Those kind of middle and late problems most oftentimes fall onto the shoulders, right or wrong, of the primary care physician, and being on the lookout for those is really important.